Yes, thank you. It's kind of painful when you go home and realize, I didn't record that. And you got to like go to your room and turn it on again and say the whole talk. And it's so different than when you have a live audience. Okay, so we'll pick up where we left off, which I believe is when you pursue a Buddha ancestor as a Buddha ancestor and understand the Buddha ancestor's expression, this expression spontaneously becomes the practice of 3 years, 8 years, 3 years, 8 or 40 years. It makes an utmost effort, creates an expression. Is that where we left off? So this may seem a little confusing at first, but Dogen tells us here, please do not see yourselves as outside, looking in. Please don't see yourselves as awaiting some transformation to join the august ranks of Buddha's ancestors. But to practice, please practice as a Buddha ancestor. You are Buddha. To practice as a Buddha ancestor, in Dogen's view, is to practice Zazen. And what this means, I think, is at some point in our practice, we need to let go of our imagined awakening, so that practice is no longer practice to get something, right? Practice is no longer a practice, it is just the expression of your life. Like brushing your teeth, right? When we brush our teeth, we're not thinking, I'm preventing cavities, and the dentist will be so happy when she sees me next. Or it's like that famous koan, you know, reaching back at night to adjust your pillow. It's just reaching back to adjust the pillow. So with this idea of just practice, we practice wholeheartedly for 3 years, 8 years, 40 years, however long we are given. To walk and breathe on this earth. Just practice. Suzuki Roshi expresses it this way. He says, we should establish our practice where there is no practice or enlightenment. We should establish our practice where there is no practice or enlightenment. Like, does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, we're not doing a job to get a result. Although we start that way. And maybe it's points we have that feeling. But here's the next sentence of that quote. As long as we practice Zazen in the area where there is practice and enlightenment, there is no chance to make perfect peace for ourselves. We're always striving to get something. So this brings up, I think, one of the most challenging aspects of practice. After all, I want some understanding. We want some experience, something to hang on to. And I feel this way much of the time. But I know whatever I imagine for in my longing is limited. And whatever experience arises will have a beginning and it will have an end. I don't think the longing for something unlimited, which after all is this universe unlimited, the Dharma unlimited, I don't think this longing for that, whatever it is that's unlimited, will end in some kind of knockout Kensho experience, some big awakening. I don't think that's going to happen. So in other words, as part of our practice, we must firmly trust our true nature. Our true nature is beyond our conscious experience. If we could consciously lay it all out, analyze it, give it numbers or letters, points, it would not be our true nature. I think we have flashes of our true nature sometimes. Profound love, deep awe, etc. We have flashes. Our life, whether we are aware of it or not, is the inclusive expression of all the Buddha ancestors. And this trust is not placed in our hearts by some teacher or by something we read or on the advice of a friend. I think it soaks, this trust soaks into the marrow of our bones little by little through our Zazen practice. It blossoms then into a confidence of practice and inspires us to continue. Sometimes people have asked, you've practiced so long, how come you've continued for all these years? And without being facetious, I have to answer sometimes, I don't really know. So Dogen continues. Then, even for decades, there is not a single gap in expression. Thus, the understanding at the moment of thorough realization should be authentic. As this understanding is recognized as authentic, what is expressed now is beyond doubt. This being so, there is an expression right now, an expression and understanding right now, an expression right now and an understanding in the past are a single track, myriad miles. The practice right now is practiced by the expression and by the understanding. There is a continuity of practice within one's life and with the practice of all the Buddha ancestors, all those people who have come before us. All my teachers have stressed the importance of continuity in practice. Daily Zazen practice, of course, but also the practice of generosity, morality, patience, practice of loving kindness, compassion, equanimity, the practice of seeing others as myself. All throughout the day, no gap, practice. And Dogen tells us that for decades and decades, there is not a single gap in expressing the Dharma. Well, that's kind of comforting. Because even when we may be lost in confusion, anger, or despair, the resulting the momentum, the vows of the Buddha ancestors, our vows uphold the continuity, the continuity of practice. Jan Chosen Bays, Roshi of the Great Vow Monastery in Oregon, shared this story of her own teacher, Maizumi Roshi, a Japanese teacher who had come from Japan a little bit later than Suzuki Roshi. And Maizumi Roshi was interviewed for a TV show at some point. And the interviewer asked him, Christians believe in a soul that continues after this life. Do Buddhists believe in something permanent that continues after death? Well, apparently, Maizumi thought for a few moments, and then he replied, "No. We believe in vow. The vow continues. The vow continues." An expression right now and understanding in the past are a single track, myriad miles. We may ask ourselves, what is this track? Is it perhaps the uttering of vows over the many centuries? Those vows echoing through the Buddha ancestors reaching us today in our vows. This being so, there's an expression right now, an understanding right now. So Dogen tells us that this unbroken expression, this warm hand to warm hand, that has gone on for many centuries. This warm and unbroken expression of Dharma holds us, supports us, even in our confusion right now. Sometimes people drop by Mountain Rain here who have practiced years ago. And they tell me that somehow, mysteriously, even though they did not come to the Zendo for many years, they still felt a support. And I wondered if the continuity was present in them. Maybe they simply read a Dharma book, or they heard a podcast again, saw a former Zazen buddy, or just saw somewhere online that Mountain Rain is still here, still offering a full schedule. Or maybe there was just nothing to point at. They just walking down the street and went, "Oh, yeah." Unbroken expression of Dharma. In Japanese language, there's this beautiful word, natsukashi, which means a kind of tender closeness or a fondness for something from the past, usually. Ah, natsukashi. You can say this word, for example, when you enter a favorite coffee shop or restaurant that you used to hang out in as a teenager or a university student. Or maybe after years you taste a dish that a family member used to make quite often, and there it is again. Your mom's pierogies. You haven't had for years. Ah, natsukashi. And I wondered if those people who drop by Mountain Rain after years experience natsukashi. If they become aware in that moment of the continuity. And in a greater sense, as I've said, the continuity has remained really for thousands of years, through the warm bodies of women and men who have practiced and become a light for others, a light for us to practice today. Back to Dogen here. Thus, the understanding at the moment of thorough realization should be authentic. And as this understanding is recognized as authentic, what is expressed now is beyond doubt. So here's my take on this. Because of this great continuity, arising insights when we practice are authentic. And authenticity is not judged by the insight agreeing with a preconceived notion. Just as I thought, this is what awakening is like. Mm-hmm. but that it arises from a continuous, wholehearted practice. I think that is what makes it authentic. In our lives, we all at times experience doubt, wondering or pondering about the rightness of our life. Did I marry the right person? Should I leave this job and travel now? Is this the best place for me? Is this the best practice for me? At any rate, who do I think I am? Anyway, I have no talent for this or that. In wholehearted practice, we express the Dharma, which is another way to say that we give our whole selves to this moment of our life. We give our whole selves to this moment of our life. We appreciate the absolute truth of this moment, whatever it is. And sometimes that absolute truth is bitter. There are no mistakes. Or as Dogen said in another great thick book of his writings called the Eihikoroku, he said, there is the principle of the way that we must make one mistake after another. Isn't that cool? There is a principle of the way that we must make one mistake after another. No mistakes or one mistake after another, though, are not two things. Dogen is telling us that mistakes are exactly the path. They're not outside the path. Now, this is a little bit of a sidetrack, but what allows in part for the expression beyond doubt is the understanding that mistakes show us the way. Our so-called mistakes lead us actually out of our stories of how things should be to the full expression of life as it is, no matter what the situation is. When we say to ourselves, it's a mistake, I made a mistake, in a sense it's something extra, right? We have layered on a kind of judgment, a value, a criticism. We must make one mistake after another. What is a life of one mistake after another? You're getting lots of koans, questions. What is a life of one mistake after another? Dogen, this being so, there is an expression right now, an understanding right now, an expression right now, and an understanding in the past are a single track, myriad miles. The practice right now is practiced by the expression and by the understanding. I just wanted to go over that again. There is no gap in the expression of Dharma. It is being expressed right now, and we, you, are part of that expression. And that expression extends into the misty past. Suzuki Roshi talked about the single track in his book, Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, a collection of his talks. Suzuki Roshi said, the Bodhisattva way is called single-minded way, or one railway track thousands of miles long. Now I suspect he was quoting, of course, an old sutra. It didn't say railway track, but it probably said track of some kind. Thousands of miles long. The railway track is always the same. If it were to become wider or narrower, it would be disastrous. Wherever you go, the railway track is the same. That is the Bodhisattva way. So even if the sun were to rise from the west, the Bodhisattva has only one way. Her way is in each moment to express the true nature and true sincerity. express true nature and true sincerity. So this is our way. The same way, the same track as all of our ancestors. But what is this track, anyway, that Dogen and Suzuki Roshi talk about? Well, Suzuki Roshi, thank you Suzuki Roshi, says a little bit more about it. He says, we say railway track, but actually there is no such thing. Well, that's helpful. Sincerity itself is the railway track. Sincerity itself. The sights we see from the train will change, but we are always running on the same track, and there is no beginning or end to the track. Beginningless and endless track. There is no starting point, no goal, nothing to attain. Just to run on the track is our way. This is the nature of our Zen practice. Notice that Suzuki Roshi used the word sincerity. We don't often use that word, do we? Sincerity. I think what he meant was fully being present and giving yourself completely to this moment. When washing dishes, just washing dishes. When scooping the cat litter, just scooping the cat litter without anything extra. When being with a sad friend, being with a sad friend. The practice is wholeheartedly giving yourself to what you're doing, to what needs to be done. This is the Bodhisattva way. This sense of sincerity is the one track. And this sincerity extends back into the misty times of our Buddha ancestors. Out of this sincerity is born the expression of Dharma and understanding. Back to Dogen. The grip of this practice accumulates in months and years and lets go of the practice from the months and years in the past. When it is about to drop away, the skin, flesh, and bones and marrow also affirm the dropping away. The nation, land, mountains, and rivers together affirm the dropping away. When you intend to get to the dropping away as an ultimate treasure place, this intention is a manifestation of the expression. So at this very moment, an expression is actualized without being waited for. Although this is not an effort of the mind or the body, a spontaneous expression arises. When it is expressed, you won't feel unfamiliar or suspicious. So I think here Dogen's using this kind of elaborate language. He's simply expanding on this idea of continuity. We practice for months and years, and through all that time, some kind of alchemy occurs within us. And yet, almost paradoxically, we don't carry the kind of burden of the past along with us. We simply enter into the freshness of the moment. But the past does inform our present. The past informs this present moment. And yet we don't try to emulate the past. Don't try to copy. Now, freshness. I think it's like this. When we have a particular interesting or strong experience in sitting, if we hold on to that as a kind of standard, then we're partially blind to the here and now, always wanting that early experience somehow. So just unpacking this more. When it is about to drop away, the skin, flesh, and bones and marrow also affirm the dropping away. The nation, the land, mountains, and rivers together affirm the dropping away. So dropping away here refers to the dropping away of what blinds us from seeing and expressing our Dharma truth. And dropping away is a term that Dogen received from his teacher, Rujing. And the term in Japanese is Shinjin Datsuraku, dropping off body and mind. The basic meaning is dropping away of our stories and concepts about who we are. And so there's just the naked self, just the naked awareness there. As one Zen teacher put it, in Shinjin Datsuraku, we are released from our karmic bindings, at least for a few moments. We are not pulled around by our thinking, emotions, and desires. Shinjin Datsuraku. Now, you may think, I am on this lonely journey. I am practicing with total effort as if my head was on fire. And Dogen, listening to that, would say, it's okay, but it's not quite right. There's a Zen story about skin, flesh, and bones and marrow. But rather than go into that right here, I'll talk about it in a little bit. Just this recognize that the very parts of your body, all that surrounds you, affirms and calls out to your deepest nature. That's what he's saying. Everything calls out. And sometimes we are aware of this, yeah? Sometimes we're aware of vivid aliveness, of trees when we're in the woods, of rivers when we're walking along, of rocks, mountains, sometimes people. Something calls out to us. Dogen and our Zen ancestors tell us over and over that both the sentient and unsentient beings speak the Dharma. The woods, a little easier to hear the Dharma in the woods. But here too, the walls, the cushions, can you hear their teaching? They too are calling out. Be alive, don't be dead. Be alive. The whole world calls out to us saying, look, look, here you are. And this too, and this too. Okay, just a little bit more, and then I'm going to give you an exercise here. So I can see we need a coffee run. So one more little bit of Dogen here. When you intend to get to the dropping away as an ultimate treasure place, this intention is the manifestation of the expression. So at this very moment, an expression is actualized without being waited for. So Dogen here, I think, kindly reminds us that our expectations arising from our self-centered imaginings of what should be done and how it should be done, it's not necessary. We don't need to imagine what we need to do and should do. Yes, we sit with an intention of awakening, and Dogen then tells us that that intention is already an expression of the Dharma. But our expectations are often really obstacles preventing us from seeing we are already manifesting and expressing the truth of our life. Now, this is not easy to accept. But is it not true that so much of our discontent arises from our expectations or imaginings? If only, right? I'm unhappy because he got the bigger piece of cake, and it should have come my way, or they got the last cookie, or we had the expectation. Many times in Dzogchen, I hear painful self-judgments of how a person's mind is swirling like muddy water, and they can't settle down, or the memory of some sweet spot from the last retreat, which remains elusive in this one. I hear that on and off. And at such a time, you know, the world seems to contract and dims a little, right? We're caught in our frustration, our anxiety, our disappointment. Suzuki Roshi encourages us to awaken from that confining view of one's life. Quoting Suzuki Roshi again, Buddha said, "To appreciate your human life is as rare as soil on your fingernail. You know, dirt hardly ever sticks on your nail. Our human life is rare and wonderful." And I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves that human life is rare and wonderful. This life, your life, is rare and wonderful. And particularly as we go crashing about our days with all our hustle and bustle and all our many troubles, we need to remind ourselves, oh yeah, this life, rare and wonderful. How often do we stop to remember how precious our life is and how to appreciate it and to express that appreciation in everything we do? To practice wholeheartedly in this moment, we meet what arises. Not hankering for some future or different moment, at least not for long. When the car didn't start this morning, Kate can vouch, I said something I shouldn't have. I hankered for a different kind of reality. I admit, this is confession. So I need to learn this too. But this is the very heart of our practice, returning again and again to meet our life as it is. With a few words that should not be spoken thrown in at times. So, I'd like to give you now a little exercise to do. It's kind of wake us up a little. Stir the pot. So we've been reading about expression. Dogen's been telling us about, you know, expressing our life and what expression may be, the kind of response. But I think we also recognize that the kind of expression Dogen's talking about is not coming from a self-centered place. Right. For example, we're not trying to express ourselves in order to impress or to show somebody up or something like that. I think what Dogen is talking about is somewhat related to what the psychologist Mihail Csikszentmihalyi, hope I've got his name somewhat right, called flow. You've heard of flow? F-L-O-W? Yeah. And this is how he describes flow. He says, it is, starting mid-sentence here, being completely involved in an activity for its own sake. The ego falls away. Time flies. Every action, movement, and thought flows, inevitably from the previous one, like playing jazz. Your whole being is involved, and you're using your skills to the utmost. The best moments in our lives are not the passive, receptive, relaxing times. But the best moments occur if a person's body or mind is stretched to its limits in a voluntary effort in something worthwhile. Flow, right? And he talks about, you know, like flow, like skiing downhill in powder, which I've never done. But flow could be singing, playing a musical instrument, on a long run, swimming in cold, cold water. I think we have each experienced flow in some way or another. Right? Yes? So here's what I'd like to do. Let's take a few moments. I'll give you to write down, and then we'll get together and talk in little groups. But here's what I'd like you to do. When do you experience flow in your life? Maybe it hasn't been for a while, but can you remember a time when you experienced flow? Maybe some different times, different things. How would you describe it? And what qualities does it have that make it different from other kinds of experience? So when do you experience something like flow? How would you describe it? What kind of qualities? And what makes it different from other kind of other everyday experiences? So we'll just take a couple of minutes, and then we'll get together in groups just to share our reflections, whatever feels safe to do so.